Being tested right now is a new type of technology that developers believe could prevent a wide range of gun-related accidents and deaths. And today on Portland's Afternoon News, we're going to talk about this technology, among other things, with an attorney who focuses on gun law cases. That's Emily Taylor. Emily, thanks for coming back to Portland's Afternoon News.
Thanks for having me.
The technology I referred to a moment ago is called BioFire Smart Gun. Have you heard about it?
I have.
Tell us what you know about it.
Well, what we have are, once again, another proposal for another sort of smart gun. This seems to be the best that they have developed thus far. Of course, whenever we inject technology into anything, it always gets better, right? And it always gets easier. Just look at everyone's vehicles now that they're half computer. But what we have is fingerprint recognition technology as well as face recognition technology that has been injected into handguns.
Okay, so we can make guns that recognize the owner, but in today's world, I mean, it's easy for me at least to believe that somebody could hack this technology and a gun that doesn't belong to someone could be used to commit a crime.
Absolutely. Just this past week, there was a huge article about how easy it is to permanently lock someone out of their iPhone if you have stolen it. Not only will this not stop people who are firearm thieves from reprogramming, this sort of interface to be usable or at least resellable. What does it do in terms of the actual usability of the firearm? What if something happens to my husband and I need to reach over and grab his gun and defend our family? What happens if the technology simply malfunctions? Again, very much like our vehicles do now that they're so full of technology. Further, what does this do to private sales of firearms? How easy is it going to be to resale? And look at everything that we have now with just the programmed obsolescence. Again, think about your cell phone. Do you want your gun with the hundreds and hundreds or thousands of dollars we spend on those to be essentially non-functional out of a few years because the tech no longer exists? You tell me. Seems to me like we continue to go after criminals, murderers, robbers, rapists, punish them harshly, and perhaps leave the firearm alone.
Right now on Portland's Afternoon News, we're talking about a developing idea to improve gun safety. It's technology that supposedly recognizes the owner of a gun, won't let anybody else pull the trigger, they say. Our guest is attorney Emily Taylor. Emily, this technology, too, might take a while to roll out. I mean, we don't know how much this is going to cost, and I would imagine that it's going to take an act of Congress to get some owners to adopt it. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And think about those poor owners in, let's say, your neighboring state of California, perhaps Oregon as well, the way things are going there. At what point does this technology become mandatory? At what point are the firearms you already own not ownable, not transferable anymore within your state? You know that that's at least what California and New York would do if given the chance. There really are just so many problems with a technology such as this. It's that we don't have enough time to talk about them all.
But do you think that this is at least a step in the right direction when it comes to reducing gun violence in our country?
You know, I'm not sure that it is. Unfortunately, we do have bad actors out there who will use firearms in bad ways. I will tell you that the number of firearms deaths in the United States of America is dwarfed by virtually anything else you could think of. Vehicles is one that comes to mind as being something that is far, far more deadly than a firearm. And of course, your vehicle is not something to which you have a right in our Constitution. Is every gun death an absolute tragedy? Of course it is. At what point do we punish the bad actor, enforce laws on the books, and make sure that we are doing everything we can to respect a constitutional right first, punish bad actors later? We have to put that as our top priority rather than what's ultimately going to happen, which is punish everybody for the bad acts of a few.
We have been talking with attorney and gun expert Emily Taylor again on Portland's Afternoon News. Emily, as always, great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.